Section 1 of Confessions of an English Opium Eater. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Martin Giessen. Confessions of an English Opium Eater by Thomas de Quincey. Section 1. From the London Magazine for September 1821. To the Reader. I here present you, courteous reader, with the record of a remarkable period in my life. According to my application of it, I trust that it will prove not merely an interesting record, but in a considerable degree useful and instructive. In that hope it is that I have drawn it up, and that must be my apology for breaking through that delicate and honourable reserve which, for the most part, restrains us from the public exposure of our own errors and infirmities. Nothing, indeed, is more revolting to English feelings than the spectacle of a human being obtruding on our notice his moral ulcers or scars, and tearing away that decent drapery which time or indulgence to human frailty may have drawn over them. Accordingly, the greater part of our confessions, that is, spontaneous and extrajudicial confessions, proceed from demireps, adventurers, or swindlers, and for any such acts of gratuitous self-humiliation from those who can be supposed in sympathy with the decent and self-respecting part of society, we must look to French literature, or to that part of the German which is tainted with the spurious and defective sensibility of the French. All this I feel so forcibly, and so nervously am I alive to reproach of this tendency, that I have for many months hesitated about the propriety of allowing this or any part of my narrative to come before the public eye until after my death, when, for many reasons, the whole will be published, and it is not without an anxious review of the reasons for and against this step that I have at last concluded on taking it. Guilt and misery shrink by a natural instinct from public notice. They court privacy and solitude, and even in their choice of a grave will sometimes sequester themselves from the general population of the churchyard, as if declining to claim fellowship with the great family of man, and wishing, in the affecting language of Mr. Wordsworth, humbly to express a penitential loneliness. It is well upon the whole, and for the interest of us all, that it should be so. Nor would I willingly, in my own person, manifest a disregard of such salutary feelings, nor in act or word do anything to weaken them. But on the one hand, as my self-accusation does not amount to a confession of guilt, so, on the other, it is possible that, if it did, the benefit resulting to others from the record of an experience purchased at so heavy a price might compensate, by a vast overbalance, for any violence done to the feelings I have noticed, and justify a breach of the general rule. Infirmity and misery do not of necessity imply guilt. They approach or recede from shades of that dark alliance, in proportion to the probable motives and prospects of the offender, and the palliations, known or secret, of the offence, in proportion as the temptations to it were potent from the first, and the resistance to it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?